This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, have multiple insurance needs. They handle them all. And they do a great job of making sure you're fully insured while also saving you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. Do we have Neil on the line yet?
Not yet.
Well, hit it on the side. Just kidding. We'll talk to him in a moment.
Neil is here, sir.
Of course he is. I was confident the entire time. Sir, welcome. You are the best in the business, and we appreciate you every single week. I hope you know that. So great to have you with us.
Here, as usual, and I will remember next time to keep the ringer on my phone on, which I did not do. I was sitting here late with nothing else to do, kind of wondering, like, huh, I'm supposed to be getting a call. Oh, okay. I'm 2 minutes late. He's already called twice. My bad.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. As long as you're there, that's all I care about. You can tell I'm a big panic guy. So, Mike Tomlin gets a 3-year extension. Your thoughts when you saw that come up?
It's more like I don't know why this didn't happen. I've been saying since last year it seems kind of odd that he doesn't have an extension yet. You don't have the longest tenured coach in the NFL coach into the final year of his contract. That's something you make Mike McCarthy do, which is what's happening. So I didn't necessarily have a doubt after January that one was going to get one done, but I honestly was wondering why it hadn't been and if there wasn't an exit plan in the works. Simply because, you know, and we've discussed this, but there's been a pretty significant increase in the top-level coaching salaries over the last couple of years, at which you assume Tomlin's got to be within, you know, shouting distance of, at the very least. That's a lot of money. Do the Steelers want to put that in for a coach that, you know, has had kind of mixed results over the last couple seasons? Not enough, perhaps, to be fired outright, but you're not entirely sure if this is, we're going to get over the hump. We can keep doing what we're doing, and eventually it's going to pay off. Will this work? I feel like there was a legitimate question there, you know, just simply because you would not have him coaching into the last year of his contract otherwise. You know, he would have had plenty of a market for his services if he was available. If he and the Steelers were to part ways and Mike Tomlin wanted to coach again, he would have very little problem getting Sean Payton's contract. I don't think there's any doubt of that at all across the NFL. So the fact that it happened now and not right before the draft, which is when the last contract extension was, it really kind of shows the Steelers organization over the last 5 years has drastically changed. And I understand that the fans don't really want to look at it that way, but the reality is they're not doing business the same way that they used to. And there's a different wrinkle to it every year. They're trading up in the first round. They're drafting tackles in back-to-back years after not doing it for four decades. All of these things suggest they are trying to change their modus operandi. How are they looking to do business into the future? It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to wait until the 11th hour to extend their coach to avoid going into minicamp without their head coach being locked up beyond the season. But it does suggest they're looking at things a little bit differently. So to be honest, that's what I thought. I mean, it's sort of the end of what I felt was an intriguing and curious mini chapter within the Omar Khan general manager era of the Steelers. Not that the Khan necessarily has say over that. I'm sure he doesn't. That's a Rooney decision. But it did seem odd to me that he had to wait as long as he did, or he made them wait as long as they did. I personally would really like to hear what happened in that whole pursuit at some point, but knowing the Steelers, I never will.
So now that brings up the next part, the longevity and the success of it. He hasn't had a losing season. What has made him, in your opinion, a really good, consistent NFL coach?
I think, and I truly believe this, if Mike Tomlin wanted to be in national politics, I think he would win every election that he was in. I honestly believe he is one of the most naturally charismatic people you will ever meet. I think he is an excellent communicator. All of these things translate well to players of varying ages, varying backgrounds. He is a unifier. He can get people on message. He can keep them on message. And I think he is enough of a manager to keep the wheels moving forward. And when Tomlin is at his best is when the team is, you know, in complete disarray, which, you know, not getting into the part where, you know, perhaps he's got his fingerprints on why it's in disarray in the first place, but to rectify the problem, to fix what's needed and get everyone rowing in the same direction again, that's a skill. That's really hard to do. And you heard me back this season. I honestly thought it was the end at during that three-game losing streak, mm-hmm. which we saw the Steelers perform about as poorly as we've seen them play in the Tomlin era against not good competition at all. These are the three games that they should have won, and they lost all three of them, and none of them were close. Those weren't competitive football games.
No.
To change quarterbacks, which, to be fair, was a big part of the three-game losing streak, to change quarterbacks after changing offensive coordinators and to get the best offensive production this team has had in 3 years, is a very Mike Tomlin-like occurrence. Now, some might say that's sort of a backhanded compliment because, to be honest, it's, you know, you can't credit him with the turnaround if you don't fault him for how it came to be in the first place. All of that is fair, but don't bottom out. Fight through week 17, week 18, into the playoffs, you know, dragging their limp, dead bodies behind a lot of the time. They get to that because Tomlin knows how to keep everybody together, and that's a trait of high level leadership. That's a trait of getting everybody behind what you're saying, getting them believing in what you're saying. How many head coaches would not have survived the season if that three game losing streak that the Steelers have?
Right.
Not a whole lot in the NFL, let alone come out of it immediately and play their best football all season, save their playoff chances with a third string quarterback. It's impressive in a really kind of bizarre way because I think this season with the Steelers was unlike any other that they've had in the sense that they both grossly overachieved and really underachieved at the same time. You're not even sure if they had a good season or not, but they landed with a pretty decent record, one that should have been a lot better as it turns out, but it could have been a lot worse too. Tomlin finds a way to kind of keep things moving due north and keep everybody in the pocket. I that's a skill, frankly, not very many NFL coaches that we have seen have. You hope they can figure out what they need to have to be a bit more consistent during the season. But, I think the game of football is about adaption. It's about learning how to handle the adversity that you get and come out stronger because of it. And Tomlin does that, I think, better than any other coach in the game.
So then let's go to the common world of media mythology. And part of the media mythology is always said, well, they need to hear a different voice. Well, the personnel changes all the time on every team in the country. In the NFL, college, whatever, the personnel is always changing. There's only a limited time they hear the voice anyway. So what makes him good with the players? Because they do hear that voice. A guy like Cam Hayward heard a long time, so did Ben Roethlisberger. What's made him good with the players?
I always get a chuckle out of the whole, they need to hear another voice thing. Joe Sweatsock needs to hear another voice. The players who are on the team for an average of 2.5 years, they don't need to hear another voice.
Exactly.
I think he is able to adapt to changing generations, changing social trends. I think it was Ramon Foster who said this once. I thought was a really good comparison. Mike Tomlin is the cool uncle that you don't want to piss off. So he's got this level of connection with the players, this familiarity that they like him as a person, they believe in him as a person, but they're not going to cross him either because he's not going to go out of his mind and completely freak out or anything. But he is going to get in your face, and he's going to make you uncomfortable about whatever it is that just happened while continuing to teach. I think he lets the players have a certain level of freedom, which I know also bothers the fan base, that he's not acting as if he's a dictator within the locker room. He gives them the respect to be able to go out and do their jobs, and he's very straightforward with them about the results. I don't think one coach and his style is necessarily what wins and loses games. I do think consistency, getting everybody unified under the same banner and having everybody go out and do their jobs particularly well is what wins championships. It's not any one thing the coach is doing. It's bringing everybody's thing together. Tomlin is able to communicate that effectively, where they need to go. excuse me, that isn't to say everything he does is the right moves in retrospect. We've seen plenty of times that he's made open mistakes.
Sure.
He moves on from them fairly quickly, I think. There are decisions, I don't need to tell this audience my disapproval for the signing of Mitch Trubisky. That played out, I think, right in line with the way I thought it was going to. Kenny Pickett obviously didn't work out particularly well for the team either. They're restarting at that position yet again. They haven't had stability there in 5 years. And really, since Ben Roethlisberger's elbow snapped back in 2019, that's how long ago it was, they had a reasonable play from their quarterback. He's winning despite that, but at the same time, he's part of why that hasn't been solved to some degree. I'm not talking they need Patrick Mahomes or anything. They could get average level play at the position. They haven't even had that. So there are things that he has to fix. I just feel like as the match goes on, he's punching his hardest. As the pitcher continues to throw, his fastball has more velocity. He's good at building that momentum and getting stronger as the year is going. They need to avoid the pitfalls that they've fallen into at the midway and two-thirds of the season way in the last couple of years, and that's something I'm sure I don't need to tell him. He's aware of that. They need to get 17 good games out of a team for once, if that's possible. But I do feel he's the guy that can get them through those gates, provided they have the right type of talent. And it's not a lack of trying. I mean, they've had, five starting quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Roethlisberger's last, two seasons to today, I think they've had five different quarterbacks not named Ben Roethlisberger. None of them have been particularly good. And I should say, I think it's five now with Russell Wilson. We'll see how that turns out. We'll see what they can get from him. But I also think a new offensive coordinator, one who's not a reasonable addition to worst offensive coordinators in the modern era of the NFL, will probably help him out. a bit more than they've seen in the past. Maybe this is a year they could actually put it all together.
What about how he handles the media? Belichick, of course, when he would hand it on to Cincinnati, whatever, if he thought a question was nonsense, we knew Belichick thought it was nonsense. In a lot of ways, Mike Tomlin's the same way. He just has a little different demeanor about it, doesn't he?
I think Mike Tomlin, to put it mildly, is a better public speaker than Bill Belichick is. There's a desire there for that. One of the things with Mike is it's not often, but you can see sometimes that he's not really prepared to answer the question that he gets asked. But rarely does he give a non-thoughtful answer to it unless it's something that he's answered previously or it's just not something he has to give you. He's, like I said earlier, he's really good at controlling the message. He knows how to steer the reporter in the direction that he wants the conversation to go. I'm trying to think of a quick example, but something on an injury front, he's going to say one of three or four different things that all means the same thing. I'm not talking about it, but he won't flat out say, I'm not going to talk about it. That in a way can kind of relax the media. It lets them be able to do their job and makes it seem like Tomlin's not flat out wasting their time. But if a reporter crosses that line, if they say something that's a little bit sensitive, a little bit touchy, he knows how to shut the conversation down pretty quickly, not through unprofessional means, but a pretty terse, pretty short, emphatic answer to whatever it is, and he's going to leave it at that. You know, I think one of the more famous ones, perhaps, is we do not care during the pandemic when they kept bouncing the date against the game against the Ravens around. He'd been asked that question how many other times. He wasn't trying to make a historic quote or anything. He was just simply saying, quit asking me about it. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to put a soundbite out there that's going to create fuel for our opponent. It could create excuses for my team in our locker room. Our official message is we don't care. Now, if you ask him off the record, there is absolutely no way he could say we don't care about the fact that we can't even get the time in this game set. Right. It's been bouncing around for as long as it has. Plus, we got to play again on a short week after this. Nobody is happy about that. He's not going to get into that, though, because that's not the message he's going to give. I think, you know, people love Mike Tomlin or they hate Mike Tomlin. Whatever it is, I know in observation and coverage of him over the duration of his career, he sticks on message as well as any White House press secretary we've ever seen. I think he is a master communicator. He knows how to establish the message and plant that message out for people to hear. I think we talked about this back when the whole Deontay Johnson fumble thing came up. Obviously, that's a point that everybody's going to talk about. Mike Tomlin does not want to spend time on that moment a whole lot. So what does he do? He makes the bold proclamation out of nowhere after a decent but not Hall of Fame-like game for a future Hall of Fame player in T.J. Watt. But Mike Tomlin just out of nowhere said T.J. Watt is the best defensive player in the game. People don't understand the subtlety of that, but he had no reason to make a declaration like that, except to get people talking about Watt instead of Deontay Johnson.
That's right.
Asking about Watt, getting the bloggers writing about that kind of stuff. He writes for those people. He really does. Things like that, that's mastery. He knew how to control that situation to keep somebody. He always supported Deontay Johnson. He always had Deontay Johnson's back. He didn't rip him publicly. Johnson did something, you know, you and I ripped him quite a bit after
it
happened.
Yeah, we did.
Tomlin, though, was not going to participate in that. Not because he wants to protect him, but he's not going to add to it. He's not going to create a distraction. He's not going to have something echoing in his locker room. He's just going to say out of nowhere, because, you know, Yinzers talk about Myles Garrett versus T.J. Watt every day. T.J. Watt's the best defensive player in the game. Completely swung the entire press conference. It's genius, and people don't understand that and don't really realize that that's what he does, and it is very much intentional. Things like that players recognize. They see what he's trying to do. They see that you know, I'm sure the conversation was not pleasant with Deontay Johnson after that game, but Johnson knows he's not going to go out, and Tomlin's not going to go out and destroy him publicly for it either. That gets people wanting to play for him, and that's important in the long run.
No, and that's exactly right. What you say in private is private. What you say in public is you don't throw them under the bus. He doesn't throw people under the bus in public. No, which is fine. And I appreciate that. Yeah, it's, I think that's what anybody wants from a leader. It's okay for you to be tough face-to-face, the tough love moment, but don't throw me under the bus in front of everybody. I'll give you one quick one, Bart Starr. And this was not in public. Vince Lombardi chewed out, well, he chewed out everybody, but he chewed out Bart Starr. I mean, really got on a play in practice. And Bart Starr went into his office, and he said, look, I don't mind if you and I are sitting in here and we're going through video and you chew me out. Or if you chew me out, right, in this office with the door shut and nobody cares. He said, but don't do it in front. If you expect me to lead, don't do that in front of the other players. And Lombardi never did it after that. Never.
It's an example of dual leadership between the two of them. It's having the humility on Lombardi's part to accept that his leader said that, and he it, at some point Lombardi has to follow him too. Yeah. And for Starr to say, you know, not in an emotional filled way. I'm familiar with his story as well. It's a great one. Not in an emotional way, but for the sake of the team. It's not about you correcting me. It's not about you coaching me. It's that when you come unglued like that around people, they're not going to have faith in me. And right. Neither you nor I want that.
Yep.
That's leadership defined. You could see why they were successful. That level of honesty and that level of communication is critically important. And these are things that we don't hear about. We don't see about. We don't see on a day-to-day basis when we're going over our fantasy football staff. But they're critically important to the overall success of a team and any organization.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Kulong joining us on the show today. Yeah, that the Bart Starr story I've always found to be intriguing because, you know, everybody, you know, oh, Lombardi's a dictator, the whole thing. Yeah, but there's an internal working to it. And when Bart Starr said that to him, Lombardi stopped. You know what? My quarterback is right. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers at your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour brought to you by the great people at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. And I know, I ended up getting a Ford. Beautiful Explorer, brand new. Chris and everybody there, top shelf. Couldn't have been treated any better. Ended up with a great vehicle and a great experience. Pre-owned inventory, when I was there, plenty on the lot, and I know all of it was inspected because they want to make sure you have the best buying experience possible. So they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine, difficult. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. JT Realmuto is going to be, the Phillies are not going to have him for the next month and a half to 2 months. They're going to do work on his meniscus. And, you know, of course, these days, when you are, when they do surgery like that, usually it's 2-3 cuts, whatever. That's why he's able to get back. But it looks like it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks that he is out. And, of course, you're talking about defensively one of the five best. Offensively, he's hitting .261. He's got 7 home runs in 51 games. He's he is part of the backbone of this team. And he will be out 6 to 8 weeks because of that. It's a 162-game season. This stuff happens. It happens to somebody along the way. It's really, with 162 games, it's almost impossible for any team to get through it unscathed. And so JT Realmuto's out 6 to 8 weeks, and it's meniscus surgery.
I'm sure Braves fans feel no sympathy between Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna this year.
Right. They've lost their best player and their best pitcher. Right? And again, that's just, in 162 games, this stuff is going to happen. And JT, 6 to 8 weeks. It could have been worse. It's not season ending. It's a meniscectomy is what it's called.
I read the same thing. I wasn't going to try and pronounce it, though.
Well, I did, so. But 6 to 8 weeks, and you know, you're going to have to the system. And the system's, I'll never forget when the spikes were part of the Cardinals system, you always knew when Yadier Molina got hurt. Okay, everybody move up one spot. Everybody. Suddenly, the spikes got a catcher from Johnson City. The spikes catcher moved up to Peoria. The Peoria catcher went up to Springfield. The Springfield catcher went up to the Cardinals. It's like, that's great. Then Molina would come back. The guy you had before, he's back with you. Now, just so you know, Realmuto was put on the 10-day IL. He was put on the 10-day IL. So not 60, but 10. And I think that's significant. That tells you that they fully believe he'll be back, and it looks like 6 to 8 weeks. There you are.
It is going to be interesting to see how they handle this, because that's probably one of the spots that they're not super deep. Neither Garrett Stubbs or Rafael Marchand are the hitter that JT is, and I think it's very clear that they're probably not the defender that he is, which is probably where he's more important.
Yeah, I mean, Stubbs is not the defender he is. Stubbs does have power, but he also strikes out a lot. So it's, and that's just the way it is. And that's, you know, JT is special for a multitude of reasons, and you're going to all find out why. Very quickly on I know in this segment yesterday, this half hour, we touched on Caitlin Clark. And they were saying, look, her lack of experience, especially in the USA basketball area, is a reason why. But let's be honest about where she is in the league. Now, she's not on a good team. Okay? But you know, there are 140 players in the WNBA. Okay? So, Todd, let's play the game here. Where does she rank? Where does she rank in scoring in the WNBA out of 140 players?
8th.
15th. Field goal percentage.
12th.
45th, 37%. Three-point percentage.
8th.
29th, 33%. Turnovers per game.
I'm going to put that in single digits, too. 5th.
Dead last. She is last among 140 players in turnovers per game at 5.5.
Oh, yeah. I thought meant I was going through most because she does turn the ball over a lot because it's in her hands a lot.
And then defensive efficiency.
Last.
Well, actually, there are 14 that are worse. She's 126. I told you defense is only something she plays because the rules state you have to. That was mean. That's accurate. All right, so, I think she tries. She's not very good at it. And I think part of it is because she's not very interested in it. Why do you think Iowa played so much zone? Played a lot of zone in part to protect her. But, yeah. Right. So her, just by the numbers, no. But I do not quite get the resentment of the other players toward her. You have more people watching in part, not completely, but in part because of her. Don't you think you'd appreciate her? That, again, you're talking about, okay, in the WNBA, over the years, have they inched their way up the ladder when it comes to getting more fans to watch, more fans to watch? Have they been getting more fans to watch, more fans to watch, more fans to watch? The Olympics have helped. And now suddenly you got a person that instead of inching your way up the ladder, takes you up two rungs in the ladder. And you resent her? Really?
Jen Rosati's quote, who was one of the people that selected her, said that they blocked out the noise of her marketability and what she means to the game and just went strictly with on the court and experience.
And that's the best way out of it? The best way out of it is to do what I just did, and that's to tell you what the stats are. Just the pure stats tell you, like, okay, she should be an alternate, just on pure stats. The question is, are you missing a marketing opportunity?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah, that's the part where that's a legitimate question to ask. Are you missing a marketing opportunity? But there are too many times, or not too many times, there are many times where other people resent your success. Well, I don't understand why, why they aren't watching us, why are they just watching her. It's like, hey, look, be lucky you're being watched. I mean, that's the key. You're getting more eyeballs to the TV set, which in turn they're watching you. So I don't quite get the resentment toward her. Because you know what? It was Gina Auriemma had a quote, and he's right. This is not one of those... He has no... nothing to grind about. I mean, he just talks. Does he love his player Paige Bueckers? Yeah. Of course he does. But he says the delusional fan base that follows Caitlin Clark disrespected the WNBA players by saying she's going to go to that league and tear it apart. That's what he said on the Dan Patrick Show, which you heard here on WKOK. They were actually odds on. She's third or fourth in betting odds of being the MVP of the WNBA. These people are so disrespectful and so unknowledgeable and so stupid that it gives women's basketball a bad name. Okay. Right? And he's not wrong about that. He's not wrong about that. Now, has she added viewership? Yes. Has she added interest? Yes. Right? Has she contributed to it other than what she's done on the court? No. When she was drafted, did she say she was going to come in and dominate the league? Nope. Said she was thrilled to be drafted by Indiana, couldn't wait to get there. You know what I mean? That's how she treated it. Right? That's how she's treated the whole thing. It's been the fans and those who make comments that have been focusing on stuff that is throwing expectations on her that she herself has not discussed. She hasn't said she's better than Diana Taurasi. She hasn't said that she's better than Asia Wilson. She's acted pretty much like a rookie who's very talented, trying to cut her teeth on a losing team. That's how she's acted. So it's not her. And that's why Gino's correct. It's the delusional fan base that follows her and the casual people in the media that have followed this. Casual. You know, let's do a morning show on the news. I can't believe Caitlin Clark didn't make it. I understand why she didn't make it. My only question has been, did you lose a marketing opportunity for the game by not having her on? I didn't say she deserved to be on. My question was, did you lose a marketing opportunity? That's two different statements.
I think it says a lot about her that, you know, this has been probably since January that she's been the focus of all this, that the person that's handled all of this the best is her.
Is her, right. Diana Taurasi said entering the WNBA is just a whole different league. It's like anything. It's a different level of competition. Said I had to get used to it. Again, every time you move up a level, you're in junior high or AAU, you're in high school or AAU, well, then it gets whittled down, and now you're in college. Right? And from going from hundreds and thousands of high schools down to a couple of 300 basketball programs, of which 68 are in the Power 5 group, it gets whittled down. Well, now you're in the WNBA. How many teams do they have? 12?
Yes.
All right. So she is one of 144 players. Well, that means it got whittled down to the best.
I was just going to say, and that's also when you throw in the best in the world at that point as well.
Yeah. You know, and this is what I mean, guys have to go through this. I mean, guys go through this. Anthony Edwards is the first overall pick of the draft. Anthony Edwards has played very, very well. He's finally had a chance to be in the playoffs. He performed well in the playoffs until they got to the Dallas series and then he struggled. Okay. Never been that far in his life at Georgia. They didn't even make the postseason in his one season there. When she got hip checked by Kennedy Carter, and it's the league's fault for how they handled all this. I mean, I agree with Mike DeCourcy's analysis of that. I thought Mike was spot on. He said, it's tough, but that's just the fact of the matter. This is a very physical game. You're going to get pressure. This is professional basketball. It is what it is, honestly. That was her answer, not the audience answer. That was her answer. She's handled it very, very well. Very well. She's brought more eyeballs to the TV. But is she ready yet for the next level being one of the best 12? No, but in 2028 she should be. She's a very talented player, and by 2028 she should be. When they're playing in Los Angeles. Yeah. And that's just the way it is. Now, again, is it a missed marketing opportunity? Now, that we can debate. Whether she should be on the team or not, not so sure that's much of a debate. But Gino Auriemma is right. There's a delusional group out that just thinks that you plug and play and you're going to go. Look, Caleb Williams is the first overall pick in the NFL draft. Do I think he's capable of having a good season? Yeah. But is he capable of having an up and down year? Absolutely. The speed of the game is just different. Once you get used to it and adapt to it, then you take off. That's why everybody was like, look at C.J. Stroud. I give him credit. Stroud adapted pretty fast. Bryce Young struggled a bit. He also didn't quite have the talent around him either. For some odd reason, that makes a difference. I'm trying to figure out why.
Jimmy's and Joe's always helps.
Yeah, always does. Meanwhile, the Cotrillo kids are still standing at the glass looking at the ocean. It's as close as they're going to get.
There's backup safeties to analyze, Steve.
I understand that, but they won't even let him go to the pool. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
We will talk about the U.S. Open tomorrow with Jerry Dulac, Pinehurst number 2. Meanwhile, the Sioux continues to struggle with windmill number 1. This half hour has been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Roost 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Let me put it this way. I put my trust in them and was well-founded. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
Whenever you're ready.
Come in. 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Jerry Dulac on the U.S. Open Golf Championship. Today, 1 to 3, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Perfect.
There you go. All set. Anybody advancing to State College?
Or? Nope. They both lost yesterday.
Too bad.
Had some fielding issues at the worst times.
Yeah. Nah, that always comes back to bite you.
Yes, it does.
Right.
All righty. Yeah, well, my spring season ended yesterday. We're having our meeting for...